Hello friends, we are studying the subject of customer-centric organization. We are on chapter 5, which is the outside-in organizations. Very interesting. You will see this now outside-in on various marketing P's as we move forward. This is first in that series. So what is the objective that is set for this particular subject? We will have to first understand what is this outside-in concept is, and then institutional barrier. In becoming an outside-in enterprise, the inside-in marketing, that's what is again a conceptual thing, outside-in marketing. So, the another aspect of marketing, difference between inside-in and outside-in marketing, outside-in fight, unclear strategies and employee contributions, and then understand what is outside-in and inside-out perspective in B2B and service marketing. So, with this number of objectives, we begin our journey to understand. The outside-in organization is about both bad news and good news. The outside-in organization, that concept itself is a bad news and the good news. The bad news is that very few managers actually run their companies from the outside-in. Okay, outside-in means you start every aspect of your business with customer in the front. And prospective customers, and make sure that all their strategies and actions are implemented from customer perspective. In everything that you do, the perspective of the customer is a paramount importance, and not only that, you align your doing of business in that way. And the good news is that that common sense, and it is a need of an hour, and things are catching up. And one can turn the bad news into good news by adopting the outside-in approach for the future growth of the organization. So, let's understand the concept of outside-in strategies. Outside-in strategy, companies that consistently create value approach strategy from outside-in perspective. Now, the value creation we have understood, even when the organization was not customer centric, marketing itself, the fundamental this thing is a value creation. What this says, consistently create value. Now they are able to do that because they believe in outside in perspective. So what is that they do differently? They start with the market when they design the strategy, not the way around. They start with the market end, they start with the customer end. And then they try to understand that the need and the problem that they are facing, the solution that they are looking at, focus every part of the organization on achieving, sustaining and profiting from the customer value. So you start with them, and not only that, after you starting with them, you create, you focus every part on organization. So you not only do the development, that's the first leg, then the sustenance, that is the continuity, and then profiting from the value. So value has to be created, no doubt, but value has to be recovered also by way of appropriate pricing, fees, etc. Use market insights to make demand-driven decision based on the customer need. So once you become customer-centric and you understand need, pull has to be generated, natural aspect of another marketing principle, but you have to understand how customers are pulling you. Here what it says, you have to understand how customers are pulling you. What is it in it that the customer is valuing it and then pulling your services? Develop organizational culture to integrate customer need into every decision. So that's what focus every part of the organization ascending in developing, achieving, sustaining and profiting from customer value. That's the second aspect of outside in strategy. The third aspect, generating economic profit over the long term. Now, and it involves strategies that are built and renewed through value lens. Strategies that are built and renewed through value lens. Value is of a paramount importance in customer-centric organization also. And it says that value needs to change because customer needs are constantly evolving and illuminated by deep market insight. So, economic profit will come if you apply insight in creating ever-evolving value, value that aligns with the need of the customer. So then customers will naturally pull you. So that's what will get you the profit. The outside-in strategies are achieved through our four customer value imperatives. So what are the imperatives of customer value? What are the imperatives of customer value? That is, be a customer value driver leader, be a customer value leader. Second is, innovate new value. So you not only be a leader, but before anybody else catches you up, you innovate another value for the customers. Capitalize on the customer as an asset. You are having a base of loyal customers, not for no business, aspects. It is like, it is up to you. How do you capitalize? They are with you. Do you know art of capitalizing their relationship with you? And then the capitalize on the brand itself. You have built the brand as an asset, so capitalize. We will try to understand this one by one. Be a customer value leader. So what does it mean? Customer value leader outperforms their rival by delivering superior value to a distinct segment. Remember, in the customer-centric organization culture, please remember forever, you are not there to serve all the customers. You are there to serve specific customers and distinct segment of the market with a business model that is tightly aligned for this purpose. Business model that satisfies the need of the customers. And that's where the value is created. It's a customer value. So you become a leader in that. Customers will naturally come to you. Okay. So that's the first imperative, be a customer value leader. Second is, we further understand, we be a customer value leader. When we look at the most marketeer, we see the formation of three distinct segments to cater to. This doesn't mean you kind of create it, but it is like from among your existing customer base, from among your existing segments, how do you look at them? That perspective has to come. So first is a performance value buyer. Second is a price value buyer. And the third is a relationship value buyer. Performance value buyers are who seek a product that meets their demanding requirements. They have a certain demanding requirements. It may be quality, fashion, or functionality. So understand what is it that they are looking at. And if you see that their demand or their value they will feel if there is a performance related attributes are fulfilled by you, then they are the performance value buyer. Price value buyer who simply want the best price for an adequate level of performance of the service. So they are not high on absolute quality, they are high on functional quality and for which they are willing to pay you best price. Or a value price, as they say. So they are the price value buyer and relation value buyer who put a premium on total solution that meet the need beyond product. So total solution, complete solution which encompasses and goes beyond the product, including the service, financing, technical assistance, and so on and so forth. So you are not offering him a product, you are offering a complete solution. We are for your kind of a problem, we believe that this product of our is very suitable. However, this product of our requires a specialist for installation, so that we will provide to run them and utilize the benefit out of running such a sophisticated instrument or a machine. Your people needs to be trained, so we will provide them adequate training. And not only that, we will participate initially and monitor how well your people are doing it, and we will file a report. If there is any corrective course needed, we will participate in that also. So that's what relationship gets developed. Customer knows that, you know, he means business to me. So these are those, while becoming a customer value leader, three distinct customer segments from your existing, this thing you will have to identify their characteristics. Okay, performance value, price value, or relationship value buyer. Be a customer value leader. So that's what we are continue to understand. The brilliance of customer value leader lies in part in their humility. They understand that they cannot be all things to all segments. So that's a very important thing. I earlier also said, you must know which segment need what very clearly. That is one way to look at it. And then orient your solution for that. The second thing, you know that you cannot serve all the customers all the time. So find out who is the segment or part of that segment or a specific segment that you want to serve during your orientation towards customer centricity. These companies make the hard choices of which segment to target. So they are very hard on deciding. Offer a value proposition. So how they create undisputed, differentiated offer of a value deliver the value often underperforming in other segments that they do not select. So in this A segment that is chosen, they will always strive to exceed. They may not be doing that way in the other segments whom they have not considered into their strategy plan. So this is the way a value leadership can be created. You become customer value leader. Innovate new value for customer. Innovate new value for customer. So what it in simple terms this slide says, it is not good to be with the existing customers. You must find out new customers also, new customer segment that you can attract and you think you have a capabilities, competencies, etc. To attract that, you have to create some new value propositions. So you have to be innovative. Innovative in a way that you are able to offer some distinct value to that new segment. Therefore, they will come. So they focus on customer value innovators. So they try to often find out how they will do tomorrow. So how they will do tomorrow is about not a challenge, but customer value innovators. So thinking about future, thinking about attracting new segments, because ultimately business expansion they also have to do. You will have to constantly strive to develop new way of adding value. It could be new proposition that you take. And they are not restricted to technology. So now do not misunderstand the word technology. What it is telling is full spectrum view in the sense innovation front on the technology, new market explored, product features are reconsidered, and so on and so forth. So full spectrum of marketing needs to be re-looked to find out new value that you can offer to the new customer base. Customer value innovators see opportunity for growth every dimension of a competitive strategy. So how you can create way above your competitor, and that's where you create a value, and that's where you attract new customers into your fold while you continue to be customer centric. So that's an innovative new value for customers. That's the second outside in strategy perspective imperative. The third is capitalize on the customer as an asset. Now these are the customers you have chosen that you will want to serve by being customer centric. They are going to be focus of every dimension of your marketing way forward. Is it done only for just basic revenue, basic profitability that you would have got otherwise also? So how can you leverage, how can you capitalize this existing asset that you have? Companies that master this imperative have found a way to turn customer value into valuable customer. So value that you offer turns that customer into valuable customers. How? For this customer as an asset, one need to manage. Customers produce profit by purchasing more. So make him purchase more in the same category. Purchasing across category. Now he should expand his purchase and buy more other category products from you. Okay. So he must be so far buying only say spares. Now he should buy some equipments to handle maintenance. Okay. Then he should buy installations that is required for a productive engineering. Okay, so that way you try to give him across category. Purchasing new product, he should come to you to buy even new innovative product that you or a new product that you introduce. Responding fastest to company's marketing activities, their response time vis-a-vis the mass market, vis-a-vis the non-loyal customer, vis-a-vis the customer that you are not focusing is much faster. Defecting less. The rate of defection to the competition is less among them, okay? Investing in the relationship and promoting the company more by word of mouth and word of mouth. So they are the one who defect less, and they don't try to go to this thing. For them, the switching cost is very high. Switching cost means leaving the existing brand and going to the other brand is very difficult. For me, the switching cost of moving away from Gillette brand of razor, Gillette brand of shaving cream is far more very difficult. Okay. I have tried, I have probably at times burned my fingers. So now it's been last 3 decades or so, is Gillette. So it's like you make the switching cost very difficult for him. And he on his part will become your spokesperson. He will do word of mouth. And word of mouth means online he will try to promote you, advocate you. So continue to understand, capitalize on the customer. As I said, the point this slide is trying to make is in the marketing, as they always say, the retaining existing customer is far more important, because he continues to be with you, buys not only the same category product, buys cross category products, you can upsell him, cross sell him, etc. He doesn't question your pricing, etc. So that invariably helps you financially, and that is what is coming out here. It's an asset, though you do not own him, consider him as an asset. So that's what capitalize on the customer as an asset, capitalize on the brand as an asset. That's another imperative, last of that imperative that we are supposed to study. Brand is definitely an asset for the company, because this is like a trademark, patented thing which found the place in the mind of the customer. So whenever they need a category product, they think of you. Whenever there is a shaving, this thing, the Gillette name only comes to my mind. So likewise, a strong brand makes a credible promise to reliably deliver a meaningful benefit. That's the power. Brand position is a positioning. They promise you things and they consistently deliver that. GE, bring good things to life. Apple, think different. Volvo, safety. They have laid the claim and then they have consistently worked on that and attracted the customers. Okay, thereby they also help customers to reduce perceived risk and simplify the choice process. BMW, luxury par excellence. So that's what. However, strong brand doesn't automatically follow from strong value propositions. So strong brand do not emerge out of strong value proposition, and a vice versa. Okay, value proposition, the strong brand doesn't guarantee strong value proposition. So that's also one has to see. But brand is definitely an asset worth considering as an imperative in your outside in strategy. Okay, so outside in marketing. So let's understand now, we have understood the conceptual framework of outside in. Now let's understand what is outside in marketing. In essence, it starts with the customer first. So it starts with the customer end. You will say that every marketing starts at that. Yes, all definitions of marketing talk about satisfying customer need, but why do so many organizations not use this as a starting point? So that's a mute question. So marketing facilitates the exchange process between company and the customer. In the one another word which is very powerful in the marketing is the exchange. Exchange what? Exchange of value. So value starts with the customer and works backward. Now value creation, that's where the fault line. Many companies have thought, okay, we have product, exceptionally good product. So that's the value. Many then fail also. Value has to start. So the difference in outside in is value creation starts with the customer and then it percolates backward down within the company. And while doing so, may need a change from being a product focus, that is inside in thinking, inside out thinking, to outside in. Develop what customer needed, what customer wanted. So that's the first aspect of outside in marketing. We are trying to gradually understand what is this outside in marketing, because the entire subject is customer centric organization, and this is a gist of it, or the crux of it. So in the digital age today, what is happening, the power is not in the hands of the manufacturer. So customer is what does really taste with the customer, so as to with the digital age, the power really does rest with the customer. So brand owner or the manufacturer cannot only communicate, customer also can communicate back with you. So producers say, so no longer now the scenario that prevails is producer just merely selling stuffs to buyer. it is buyers identifying what they need and who they want to buy from. So what is also happening is, now buyer is in a position, because there are multiple vendor, information sources are so many available, buyer is in a position to decide what they need, from where they need, and how will they satisfy that. So that's what is the crux of the digital age. More than that, it is about customers determining what type of communication they want and from whom. So what type of communication and from whom, that is the growth of permission marketing. So that's where the permission marketing has come in. You subscribe to, say, like, I must subscribe to the Gillette newsletter or a Forbes newsletter, etc. So that's a permission marketing, and then they communicate with you. So I have that choice available. So furthering this, permission marketing is nothing but an approach to selling goods and services in which the prospects has explicitly agreed in advance to receive various marketing information. So opt-in is known as an opt-in email, where internet users sign up in advance for the information with the company that they are seeking, okay, and for certain product categories that they are seeking. So good, it's a good example. That I am, as I told you, subscribing to the Gillette. So I keep getting the grooming tips. I keep getting about the new products, etc. Advocates of permission marketing argue that it is effective because the prospects are more receptive. They do not ignore an email coming from them. They are more receptive. Yes, they are choosing when to read as I do it. But yes, it is still, I am attending to it. So therefore, it's the most cost effective. Now, you see the basic diagrammatically I'm trying to explain. In a world of information overload, automated telemarketing and spam, most people welcome the idea of permission marketing. So, when the world is going probably more towards the wrong side, at least this concept of permission marketing is finding an acceptance. So, in the outside-in perspective, what does it mean? That companies aim to creatively deliver their communication, something of value to the customer, something that customers will know that you are offering, which is of a distinct value to him, rather than merely focus on product communication, sales offers, etc. So most companies with an inside-out perspective become attached to what they produce and sell. So they are very organization-centric, they are very particular product-centric, and they just communicate about that rather than the outside-in perspective. The outside-in perspective starts with the marketplace. So it goes the other extreme of your organization's chain, marketplace, and delivers deeply into the problem and questions your customers are facing. Okay, customers facing problems are known to you, and then you have evolved product or a service solution. Therefore, the probability of being accepted is very, very high. It then looks at, so after you start with the market or the customer, then it looks at for creative ways to combine its own capabilities. Then comes the company's ability to dwell upon and develop a solution with those of its supplier and partner to address some of these problems. So now you understood the problem or the need, come back, talk to your supplier, vendor, partner, etc. to see if there is some solution that can be worked out. The goal is to bring value to customers. Ultimately, what you develop will make customers realize what you are offering is what they were looking at, and customers knows by adopting it, he is substantially going to benefit. So that's where the value comes. And value is also how you package it and provide to him so that the customer knows that company is going to stand by him, complete till the product is not only purchased but absorbed within the organization. So how do we stay focused on the customers? Outside in, we have always spoken is about the customer, about the customer. So how do you remain focused on the customers? For broad benefits of looking outward. So what are the benefits? Now, if you adhere to that, you will become also customer focused. Anticipation, adaptation, alignment, and alliances. So, I'm explaining that later, so I will not get into much of a deliberation out here. The benefit from anticipation, adoption, alignment, and alliances are hard to realize it fully in practice, only when you practice it, you will realize it. So, what it tries to sell you, it may be very difficult to express it otherwise. Experience it to believe it, as they say. They can easily be subverted by complacency and short-run performance pressure that put inside-out thinking in control. So when organizations come under the stress, organizations transiting towards outside in approach, when they come under the stress or due to some complacencies that again sets in, which is very obvious, again what will happen, your inside out thinking will take your control. So one must avoid that to remain focused on the customer. So let's understand this various benefits of looking outward. Anticipation is what outside in thinking naturally asks questions about how the outside world is changing and unleashes creative thinking about the implications. The payoff comes from seeing an opportunity and threats sooner. So when you have anticipation, because you are adopted as an outside in approach, you are constantly in touch with the market and the customer. What you are able to know is the problem, and not only problem, the opportunity within or the threat which is emerging much better than rest of the world, rest of your competition. So that's where the first benefit. So you are able to proactively work, you're not reactive. Adaptation, this is the essence of continuous improvement or Kaizen approach as shown in by the Toyota. So adaptation is outside in approach being customer centric, customer focused. Also the other parameter that it says is the flexibility and agility. Adaptation is the hallmark of that. So you have to continuously evolve, continuously keep changing something which is as expected by the customers. You cannot tell customers, no, this is how we will do. So that adaptation brings the agility, flexibility. Kaizen is also, that's one of the framework by Toyota that they have implemented. It's a Japanese principle, which also looks at continuous improvement as a center of organization's sustainability. Okay, alignment. There are fewer tough battle and more collaborations. So that's another big this thing. Otherwise, in inside out approach, organizations and the department work in silos. So there are frequent clash of interests and objectives, etc. While in outside in approach, you have one specific objective, which is customer experience and exceeding it. There are fewer tough battles. Therefore, there is hardly any this thing till you really realize this, where actually you have to come head on with each other to, again, it is in the interest of the consumer. Otherwise, you try to align, collaborate, sync with each other so that the productivity, efficiency, effectiveness, etc. will enhance. That will be delivered to the customer. He will experience it. Alliances, the more your organization is focused outside, the more opportunities you will spot to partner with suppliers, large customers and even rivals. So that's another paradigm. So where outside in approach will offer you wider vision to create that unbelievable competitive advantage or customer experience for which you may have to collaborate with your supplier. So you work together rather than they being your supplier and you being the proprietor. No. Okay. Maybe some of the large customers you will have to work with together. At times, collaborate with liar rivals. Even that happens. So these are the four core benefits of looking outward. That is what we have run. So this is what we are studying under. How do we stay focused on the customers? Now we enter the next section, institutional barrier to developing an outside in organization. So that is a barrier within. So that's what we are trying to understand. Developing an outside in orientation is difficult to achieve because it requires both insight and action. Gaining real insights into customers' need demands more of companies than those arising from the typical market research. So what it says is, typical market research is not an answer to becoming an outside in. Here you require foot on the ground, ear on the ground. You have to spend days and time with the customers to really understand them. So that's the first expectation. If this doesn't happen, that's an institutional barrier. The question you ask to customers must be profound and open-ended, allowing customers to express, freedom to express, with an intent not only to discover how your customers engage with your product, but also to understand some of the broader parameters of the constraints that they are facing. So it's not all about discussion, is to take place in an open, transparent environment. You merely asking a checklist of questions which is open-ended, allowing customers the freedom to talk everything that he wants to deliberate. Overall, your focus is to somehow understand the parameters that acts as a constraint or the difficulties that the customer face. That's your intent. Okay. Four distinct stages thought, through which companies may evolve. Now, again, you try to become an outside-in or a customer-centric organization. Institutional barriers that may create a kind of a hurdle in you is also that you cannot overnight become fully customer-centric. You have to go through the layered process. So that's what has been explained now here. There are levels that you go through. So what are those levels? So there are four distinct level stages. Level one, companies at level one are very product focused. They are still what they are originally and have an if I built it, I will buy it mindset. Okay, the focus is on technological excellence with some diffuse understanding of customers who may buy the product. So they are very, very their own technology driven, their own competency driven. They are very profound about what they can produce as a solution for the customers without really knowing what customers is needing as a solution, etc. So they are very still inside out, though they are ventured into, they have ventured into being outside in. They are very much at level one because they are still not able to move away from product centricity, product technology, or about themselves, you know, it's me kind of a mindset. From that, they are not able to move away. Level two, companies at level two have a basic understanding of their customers. They know far better than level one, typically coming from some market research and segmentation studies. Many times firms get into complacency at this stage. So what happens is here, it's not the deep understanding. They have a basic understanding, which is obtained through a third party research. Okay, third party, some segment understanding being provided to you. At times, this company can easily slip into complacency. Okay, they start believing that they are becoming customer centric. Okay, or outside in, and that may lead to set of complacency in everyone working on it. Level three, far profound. The move from level 2 to level 3 is a major shift. So it's not very easy being profound. It requires mindset, culture, and action oriented shift. The focus here migrates from selling products towards selling or a solving customer problem. So it's like a moving to solving customer problems. So that's what is very critical. It's not about what you have and what you are offering. It's about what problem customer has and do you have a solution? Then what are you packaging it as a solution? Firms become adaptoid at comprehending what their customers' deep-rooted issues are and look for ways to position themselves to address those issues. In trying to go from insight to action, this firm seeks to build bridges across them whenever necessary. So firm will not rest on purely what they have and how that will help customers. No, firm will first go and have a deeper understanding of what are the issues that a customer frequently faces, what are the root causes. Then he looks inward. Do I have things which, if collectively put together in an organized manner, will develop a solution for the customer? So that's what is an outside-in approach. So that's when starts happening it. It's like a level three. Level four is the ultimate. The level four firms become unsure about whether they produce all the inputs they provide to their customers and akin to a general contractor in construction, look for ways to assemble the appropriate pieces that they may get into tackling customer challenges. At level four, firm is more attached to producing solutions to customer problems than it is to the products and service it offers. So, though I read out this verbatim, idea was, of course, give you that listening opportunity vis-a-vis what it tells you that unsure about whether they produce all the inputs, okay, they provide to the customer. So now here you are dwelling upon a solution. You need not have all solution in-house. You can collaborate. You can tie up with somebody who is also good in some part of the solution that you do not have. But together, when you approach a customer, you are approaching them with the solution. So level four firm is more attached to the producing solution. So they look for producing solutions. They do not look for do they have the solution? Okay, so that's what is a differentiator about level 4. So the inside out marketing. So now having understood the outside in and the institutional barrier, etc., we want to come and have a definitive understanding of inside out marketing. Then we will understand, you know, further other aspects. Inside out strategies involve identifying a firm's capabilities and then creating and selling offering that use these capabilities in a way other firms cannot. I have found some new way to produce something which is patented by me. Others cannot copy it. Now I know that I have an exclusivity. I know that it is useful to the customer. That's it. And then if I get into the production, mass production, okay. So that's what inside out, identifying the firm's capability. I have this. Once they have produced this offering, firms then engage their marketing staff to find customers. Now, marketing staff will naturally do their job. They will identify the need and then they will package this product as a solution to that need. However, it is still not the product which is developed after understanding the consumer need. An inside out strategy works well in fairly well developed market where the customer needs and wants slowly change. So inside out strategy works well fairly in a developed market where market is fully matured, grown, the need evolution and developments are very slow paced. So it is easy to catch it up, which is not the case with outside in. They are rapidly evolving. Okay. While an inside out strategy generally works well, it may fail if organizations become so internally focused that they overestimate what they are good at, underestimate the offering of their rivals, or miss change in the external market. So the problem of organizations being internal, inside out, is that they are either overestimate that they are good at, you know, they feel that there is no substitute to them, understand the offering of their rivals, they fail to probably understand what their rivals is offering and will it impact them, or miss the change in the external market. They lose out an opportunity. They lose out either an opportunity they could capitalize or the threat that will hit them. The assertion by inside out strategy is that a company achieves a greater efficiency and adapts more quickly to the changing circumstances. Here the belief is that company can achieve greater efficiency because that is what they are good at, and what they are good at, they can change faster. That's what the belief is. Thank you.